Are we ready to open next month?
I think so.
You think so?
Well, it's complicated. Fire protection, first aid supplies, uniforms, safety training, mat services. Oh, and restroom supplies.
So uncomplicated. Call CentOS. They'll handle all of it.
Wow. One company can handle all that? That's not very complicated.
So, you'll be ready?
Oh, we'll be ready.
Oh, I'm ready!
Learn how CentOS can help you get ready for the workday. Visit CentOS.com.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I am your host, Michael Kist. I write for Breaking Football, and you can follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. If you can't tell, I'm juiced up about it being so close to the Eagles' first preseason game. Are you? I mean, if you aren't, I doubt you'd be listening to me right now. So let's share in the excitement and talk about what to look for in tonight's game against the Green Bay Packers. Now, quickly before we get to that, I want to give a quick shout out to two good friends of mine, Eric Turner and Nate Geary. They will be taking over Locked On Bills for the 2017 Buffalo Bills season. And trust me when I say these guys are going to have some fantastic content. Bills fan or not, they are both incredibly smart X's and O's guys that are really just going to make you smarter about the game of football. So be excited for that as well. And also, there is some breaking news as I record this. Brandon Graham rumored earlier in the offseason to possibly be holding out has actually just reconstructed his contract. They've added some incentives. So I want you to keep in mind as I'm saying this, his current cap hit and the cap hit for next year, they have him signed for 2 years still, is $7.5 million. So what they did was, instead of completely redoing the contract, they added some incentives. Now, this is from ESPN's Field Yates, and I'm just going to quote him. So here we go. Quote, should Graham record more than 7 but fewer than 9 sacks this season, he'll collect $250,000 with the chance to earn an additional $250,000 if he surpasses the 9 sack mark. If Graham fails to reach 9 sacks but is voted to the Pro Bowl on the original ballot or named to either the first or second all NFL team, something he accomplished last year, he'll earn $250,000. His sack production and Pro Bowl status in 2017 also impacts his 2018 salary. If Graham records 7 to 8 sacks, his 2018 base salary increases by $250,000. If he records 9 to 11 sacks, his 2018 base salary increases by $500,000. If Graham records 12 or more sacks, his 2018 base salary increases by $750,000. And if he makes the Pro Bowl on the original ballot or is named to either the first or second all NFL team, his salary increases by another $250,000. I think this is great news just as an instant reaction. Instead of redoing an entire contract and being locked in for all these years, he's got to perform to get this extra money. It's perfect. I love it. So last year he had 5.5 sacks and a ton of pressures. Now he's incentivized getting those sacks and turning those pressures into more tangible production. So I really look forward to his season. I think he's a solid player. I don't think those sack totals reflect, you know, the true season that he had last year. So I think it's win-win for the Eagles and Brandon Graham, and you should be excited about that. Now, as we go into the preview for the Green Bay Packers versus Philadelphia Eagles preseason games, we're going to start with the Packers side of things and transition into the Eagles. Now, offensively, you likely won't see much burn from the starters for the Packers. I'm thinking their new right guard, Jahri Evans, could take some snaps as he was brought in to help mitigate the loss of Josh Sitton and TJ Lang. But other than that, you aren't going to see many offensive starters. One player I'm looking forward to seeing in their offense is rookie Jamal Williams from BYU. I had him as a top 5 running back in the draft class, and I love the skill set he brings to the table. When I watched Williams at BYU, I saw a patient runner with good vision and the ability to navigate through trash very well at the first and second level. Now, he's not going to kill you with home run speed, but he runs hard and with intelligence. This is his opportunity to shine and work his way into the rotation there. Now, on the defensive side, I don't think I need to cite a bunch of stats that explain the obvious. Their pass defense was Swiss cheese last year. As such, they drafted Kevin King, the cornerback from Washington, in the second round with a 33rd overall pick. I know King saw a late rise in the draft process last year and tested extremely well at the combine, but when I watched the Washington Huskies defense, it was pretty clear to me that the Eagles' second-round pick, Sidney Jones, was a good deal better. I'm not saying that because Jones is an Eagle now. That's not my style. Pre-draft, I said Kevin King wasn't an NFL corner yet, that he was a safety and a third-round safety at that. Now, all of King's flaws show up closer to the line of scrimmage, and that's something that Jones excelled in. Now, rookie projections aside for a moment, I will say that King brings an infusion of some much-needed athleticism to that cornerback group. From a schematic standpoint for the Packers defense, we might see a lot of the Packers defensive coordinator Dom Capers testing out his fairly new Nitro defense, which is a nickel defense with a safety in place of an inside linebacker. Some quick background on this. Capers is known for these types of innovative schemes. He started using the Psycho defense, which featured a 1-5-5 look where only one lineman had their hand in the dirt. That was back in 2010. And now, after having used the Nitro defense sparingly last year, they look to be going all in on this to help alleviate some of their matchup problems that they've been having. It's going to be interesting to watch, and it'll be just as interesting seeing how the Eagles combat it offensively. Now, you could even see them toying around with adding an additional safety to that formation, which would make two additional safeties, bringing it to a total of four. And it's looking like their other second-round selection, 61st overall pick, Josh Jones from NC State, who weighs 220 pounds, could fight four snaps in that defense. I wasn't the biggest Jones guy in the draft process, as I thought he was lacking natural coverage skills, and he was a bit wild as a tackler. But I like this role for him. It makes his job in coverage a bit easier and lets him run to the football and deliver some big hits. And our wide receivers better have their head on a swivel, because this guy Jones will lay the wood, no doubt about it. The other safeties that could be featured in the role are Morgan Burnett. He played some inside linebacker for them last year, and second-year guy Kentrell Bryce. With this install of the Nitro defense, which they have run extensively in training camp, it could mean we will see some more starters for the Packers on defense for their first couple of drives. And I like that. I like the competition there in the preseason. Before we get to the Eagles portion of this preview, I wanted to talk with you about an opportunity Locked On Eagles has for you. We still have some inventory left for sponsorships as we enter the 2017 Philadelphia Eagles season, and what better way to connect with Eagles fans like yourself than by joining forces with Locked On Eagles. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to connect with sponsors than other media forms. Our rates are reasonable and based on listens. So with the season upon us, don't delay. Email me directly at LockedOnEagles@mail.com. That's LockedOnEagles@mail.com, and get your company right here on Locked On Eagles.
Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Now, for the reason you're here, let's dig into what to look for from the Eagles tonight. One matchup I want to see that excites me as an evaluator is second-year Packers linebacker Kyler Fackrell. That's if he lines up against Big V, Vitae, for some of those pass rush reps. Both guys have a lot to prove. Big V is trying to show that he is the future of the right tackle position for the Eagles when Jason Peters retires and Lane Johnson moves to the left side. And Big V did make some encouraging strides last year as a rookie after he got completely dismantled by Ryan Kerrigan. And Kyler Fackrell is trying to earn third pass rusher snaps for the season behind Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, so it'll be a good matchup. Also, keep an eye out for how we use the diminutive rookie running back Donnell Pumphrey out of San Diego State. We used a fourth-round pick to bring him in and his 7,444 yards from scrimmage that he had during his career at San Diego State. Now, if Wendell Smallwood continues to get banged up on a regular basis, you could see Pumphrey dig into his snaps. One thing I want you to do is to check my Twitter timeline. Last night, I retweeted a video of Donnell Pumphrey at the Senior Bowl. Now, in the video, you'll see him at 169 pounds, going head up with new Raiders safety Obi Melifonwu, who weighs in at 207 pounds. And I want you to tell me who you think won that exchange, and I'll give you a hint. It rhymes with Pennell Dumfrey. Now, another fourth rounder to look for is wide receiver Matt Collins from North Carolina. He's been generating some buzz, and at this point, it's believed that he's a lock to make the roster. I tend to agree with that, as even if he isn't fully developed as a wide receiver or even really close to it, Hollins is a special teams ace that is going to contribute immediately in that area. The battle for a potential sixth wide receiver spot will play out as well, which features fifth-round wide receiver Shelton Gibson, Bryce Treggs, Marcus Johnson, Paul Turner, and QB-turned wide receiver Greg Ward. Now, Shelton Gibson, by all accounts, is having a horrendous camp. He has got a case of the dropsies, for sure. And I would not be shocked to see him beat out by Marcus Johnson, who, conversely, has impressed so far this camp. So keep an eye out for that. And at cornerback, look, we got a bunch of names and no clear depth chart, so that is going to be a battle royale of sorts. I'm interested to see if new free agent acquisition Patrick Robinson can turn his fortunes around after getting toasted pretty much daily, almost every rep at camp. Also excited to see rookie Rasul Douglas in his first action. And I am anxious about the development, or lack thereof, from second-year cornerback Jalen Mills, who, I mean, I like his competitive toughness, and he's got that elephant memory, and he goes to the next rep, and I just don't know if the athletic and technical pieces are there for him. So I'm hoping we see some good signs. Now, here is what I really want to see. In yesterday's show, we talked briefly about 14th overall selection from Tennessee, Derek Barnett. Chances are he plays, and chances are he's going to be lined up against reserve offensive tackles. I would implore Jim Schwartz to let him loose. Let him put his hand in the dirt, pin his ears back, and fly up the field so that we can get a preview of what kind of juice he's going to bring to this defense. I would also implore you, gentle listener, not to overreact if he doesn't produce much this game. Through my film study, I've noticed Barnett is a bit of a slow starter, and usually by the second corner, Barnett had a team's snap cadence and tendencies down, and that's when he was really able to turn it up, when he had that snap timed up. Consequently, he was also the most penalized defensive player in college football last year due to the several offsides penalties he incurred trying to profit from the timing of the snap, which is something that is worth monitoring as a pro. I'm not expecting much from Barnett this year, personally, and it's key for him to be able to develop a speed-to-power rush and inside counters to go along with his trademark run under a table at full speed, bend around the corner. Just like all of us should have been more patient with Vic Beasley when he had a dud of a rookie season, prematurely labeling him as a bust, we should exhibit some patience with Barnett as he adds moves to his arsenal and becomes a more complete player. He's not the freakiest athlete by far, and he is going to need some time to learn the techniques required to be successful against stud tackles in our division like Tyron Smith of the Cowboys, Trent Williams of the Redskins, and whatever turnstile they roll out in New York. Now, the last piece of this is last night, I put up a poll on my Twitter timeline. If you go to my profile, you can see it there. With an over-under for Derek Barnett's 2017 sack production, I put the number at a conservative 5.5. You might think that's a little low, depending on how you feel about Derek Barnett, but I think it's fair. Brandon Graham had 5.5 sacks last year, a ton of pressures. So maybe we'll see the same thing from Barnett, which would be great. I mean, if he can come around that edge and force the quarterback to step up, and Brandon Graham can get a nice bull rush going and meet them at different points, that's something that the Broncos do very well. You'll often see their pass rushers take different paths to the quarterback. It's a different angle arc. Ware might come more inside. Von Miller might come more on the outside, and it's meant to affect the quarterback when he steps up. He's still got someone right in that track. 5.5 isn't a diss on Derek Barnett. That's just, I feel that's a conservative estimate. So go to my Twitter timeline, vote on that poll. Let me know how you feel. If you have a visceral reaction to my thoughts on Barnett, let me know how stupid you think I am, and I'll engage you in a discussion. And we'll talk about things. I want to talk this thing out. I mean, we're all in this together, right? So I want to get you involved. Go ahead and vote on that. Let me know how you feel. And just rolling back to the game itself in general, obviously we don't want to see any kind of injuries befell this team this early in the preseason that would throw us awry. So let's hope for the health of our Eagles. There you go. Some things to watch for tonight as you crack an adult beverage and watch the Eagles finally put the pads on and go to work. On the next show, I'm going to recap what we saw from the Eagles that we highlighted today and any others that might have stood out in the game. I encourage you to join the discussion on Twitter. Either hit me up at Michael J. Kist, that's K-I-S-T, like Sunkist, or use the hashtag LockedOnEagles and ask me any questions about our team, and I will try to answer all of them on the air. Remember to subscribe and share this show with your friends and family, and also subscribe to Locked On NFL with Matt Williamson and Locked On NFL Draft with John Ledyard and my friend Trevor Sikkema. And as always, keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly, Eagles, fly.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.